The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org. The Antichrist. Who is he exactly? He's a cheap imitation.
Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie warns us about the beast, the blasphemer, the evil one who will carry out Satan's bidding during the end times.
The Antichrist is a fake Jesus Christ. The way he fools people is through peace. The Bible says through peace, he will deceive many. But then people will realize how evil he actually is.
This is the day when the lost are found.
And we're glad you're joining us today here on A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie. And Pastor Greg will begin today's message in just a moment.
Coming Labor Day weekend, a rush of hope for the first time, an online cinematic harvest crusade. It looks like a movie, it sounds like a concert, and it offers answers like a harvest crusade with Greg Laurie.
We're living in hopeless times. Don't you think people could use a rush of hope?
With exclusive performances by Mercy Me.
What if I were the one to tell you that the fight's already
for King and Country. Jeremy Camp. A rush of hope with Greg Laurie.
I'm going to answer questions like, why am I here? What is the meaning of my life? And what happens after I die? Christ has the answer.
It's a rush of hope with Greg Laurie, an epic online event coming to a screen near you. Details at harvest.org.
So tell a friend, it's coming your way, Labor Day weekend. It's a rush of hope.
Each of us is lied to every day. It may be hyperbole in an advertisement, or a campaign promise, or a little white lie told by a family member. Sometimes we know it's a fib. Sometimes we're dubious. But there will come a time when a great world power will arise, and he'll hoodwink most of the planet. And today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie shows us just how dangerous this individual will be, and his lies will be deadly. It's from a series on the end times.
Question, do you like puzzles? I don't. I have no interest in puzzles. I have no desire to get a puzzle out and put it back together again. Frankly, to me, it seems like a waste of time. In contrast to me, my wife, Kathy, loves puzzles. If we're walking along and she sees a puzzle on a table, she'll sit down and start putting it together. I don't understand that, but you know, when we look at the events of the last days, of the end times, like what's going to happen when, it can be like a puzzle. We hear terms like tribulation period, abomination of desolation, antichrist, rapture, second coming, and we think, I have no idea how this all fits together. Well, that's what I want to talk to you about. But let me just cut to the chase and say this. I've read the last page of the Bible and we win in the end because God has it all under control. But you see, the Bible is the one book that dares to predict the future, not once, not twice, but hundreds of times with 100% accuracy. God lives in the eternal realm. Therefore, he can look at the past and see it with clarity, but he can look at the future and see it in the same way. I can't even remember what happened to me 6 months ago. I forget details, but the Lord sees it all as a continuum. So when the Lord tells us what is going to happen, it's not like God is going out on a limb and taking a risk. He's just telling us what the facts are. Therefore, you can trust the Bible when we come to the subject of the end times or the last days. Now, some would say, you know, it's not really important to study Bible prophecy. No one can figure it out anyway. Not true. I think God wants us to understand it. In fact, it is not God's desire to conceal, but to reveal. The very word revelation, and we'll look at this book in a moment, means unveiling. God wants us to understand what's happening. And I might add, in the book of Revelation, there is a special blessing promised, Revelation 1:3, to the person who reads, hears, and keeps the words that are written in it. So if you want to be blessed, it's a good thing that you're hearing me right now, because we're going to read, we're going to hear, hopefully, and then keep the words that are written in this book, the book of Revelation. And so this is something that we need to know more about. Listen, God does not give us Bible prophecy to scare us. He gives it to prepare us. Let me say it again. We don't read these words about the end times so we're scared, but rather so we're prepared. But let me just share a few things before we dig in. Number one, your future is bright. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, your future is bright. I love the promise God gives to the nation Israel, and I think in principle it applies to every believer when he says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. No matter what you're going through right now, God has a future and a hope set out for you. So remember that. God loves you. Your future is bright and your future is good. God can even take bad things and bring good despite them. We know that the Bible says that he can cause all things to work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Listen, this coronavirus has been very hard. More than 100,000 people have tragically lost their lives to it in the United States of America. Our economy has been shut down. People are depressed and filled with anxiety. But having said all that, good can come despite the coronavirus. One thing that is very good is seeing thousands of people come to believe in Jesus Christ, like we have seen here at Harvest at Home. So God can take the hardships you're going through and be glorified through them. And I would also add, your future is promised to you by God. There's one thing you can know about the Lord. He keeps his promises. Waymaker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That's who God is. He will keep his promises that he has made to you. There are thousands of promises that God makes to his people in the Bible. It's a little bit like gift cards. Do you have any unused gift cards in a drawer somewhere? I do. You know, people give me gift cards to random places like Liver World. When am I going to use a gift card for Liver World? No, that I made that one up. But sometimes places you don't frequent, you have a gift card for it. And there are billions of dollars of gift cards that are unused sitting in the drawers and wallets and cars of people all around the United States. And it can be that way with the promises of God. We have thousands of promises that are left unclaimed. I encourage you to claim the promises. And here's a big one. The Lord himself has promised that he will return again. John 14, Jesus says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again," says Jesus. "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." So when Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled," it's a word that can be translated agitated or stressed out. So Jesus is saying, "Listen to me, stressed out people. I'm coming back again and I keep my promises." As the Bible reminds us, don't panic. It's organic. Oh, actually, the Bible doesn't say that. But the idea is God is in control. So don't worry. Don't freak out. The Lord is going to come back at the appointed moment. Now, we're doing a little series here on the last days. And I asked the question in my last message, is the coronavirus a sign of the end times? In a broad sense, the answer to that question is yes. What we see happening around us today with a modern day plague or pandemic like COVID-19 is a fulfillment of an end time prophecy. Yes, but it's more of the foreshadowing of what is to come later. You might say that coronavirus and other signs of the times happening around us at the moment are setting the stage for the end times. Listen to this. I pointed this out in my last message. The next event on the prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. And that is when the Lord comes for his people and we're caught up in a moment in the twinkling of an eye to meet the Lord in the air. That is the moment when we receive our new resurrection bodies. That is the moment when we are reunited with loved ones who have died in faith and have preceded us to heaven. Following the rapture, we have this mysterious character that I'm going to be talking about a bit in this message that we know as the Antichrist. He's also called the Beast. He's also called the Son of Perdition. He inaugurates a 7-year period of time called the Great Tribulation Period. Antichrist initially emerges on the scene as a man of peace, a man with global solutions. But at the halfway point of the tribulation period, he reveals his true colors. And then for the remainder of the tribulation, we have a lot of amazing things happening, including God's judgment falling on the earth. Everything culminates in what we call the Battle of Armageddon, fought in the Valley of Megiddo. And that is when the second coming of Christ takes place. He returns to the earth to establish his kingdom, and everyone will know. So some will not say, was that the second coming or just a really bad storm? Oh no, you'll know it's a second coming. Jesus said, as a lightning shines from the east to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. We're so thrilled when we hear from listeners that join us from every background, every profession, every age.
Hi, Pastor Greg. I just want to let you know that I am a huge fan of you and so thankful for how God has used you through your ministries. Me and my family are originally from Southern California, but we moved to Texas when I was 12. I am now a teenager. I am also a fan of your good friend Phil Wickham's music. I'm praying for you all.
Well, it's really great to know that Pastor Greg's teachings are reaching this young man and many more like him. Would you like to share your story? If so, why not email Pastor Greg? His email address is greg@harvest.org. Do it today. That's greg@harvest.org. Well, you've joined us today for Pastor Greg's message titled Antichrist, Armageddon, and the Second Coming. Let's continue.
So let's dive into this mysterious character, the Antichrist. Who is he exactly? Well, first of all, he is sent by Satan himself. He is an imitator. Consider this, the prefix anti not only means against, and certainly the Antichrist is against Christ, but it also means instead of. He's a false Christ. Remember in Matthew 24, as Jesus is answering the question, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? He said, many will come in my name saying, I am he. I am the Messiah. And that's who the Antichrist is. He's a false Messiah. And some will even believe he is the Messiah. He's a cheap imitation. And there's always cheap imitations out there, aren't there? If something is good, there'll always be the imitators. I have a lot of people that pretend to be me on social media. I see fake Greg Laurie Facebook pages, fake Greg Laurie Instagram pages, fake Greg Laurie Twitter accounts. And what these people do is they'll go out as me, take photos off of my accounts and act like they're me. And then they'll establish a dialogue with people and then start soliciting money or other things. So always look for the blue check to make sure it's really me. But there's always the fake versions out there. The Antichrist is a fake Jesus Christ. Did you hear the story about the guy who bought his wife a beautiful diamond ring for Christmas? A friend of his said, wow, you bought her a diamond ring. I thought she wanted one of those four-wheel drive vehicles. And his friend said, well, she did, but where am I going to find a fake Jeep? Get it? Anyway. Okay, so Antichrist is a false Christ in imitation of the real Jesus. Just as God has his son, Jesus, the devil, in effect, has his son as well. Antichrist will be history's vilest embodiment of sin and rebellion. He'd be worse than Adolf Hitler, worse than Joseph Stalin, worse than Mao Zedong, worse than any of them. He'll be indwelt by Satan himself. Now, he's not going to be what you may expect. It's not like he's going to be dressed head to toe in black with glowing red eyes and the Darth Vader theme song playing behind him when he walks into a room. He'll be the very opposite. He'll be suave. He'll be intelligent, charming, engaging, magnetic, charismatic. Listen to this. He's going to solve the Middle East peace puzzle and actually get the Arab nations and the Jewish people to live together in harmony for a short period of time. He'll be declared the greatest peacemaker of all time. They'll probably give him the Nobel Peace Prize. But then he's going to do something that will really surprise many. He will rebuild the Jewish temple. So the third temple will finally be built. And this brings us to the middle of this time we call the tribulation period, because then Antichrist is going to do what is called the abomination of desolation. By the way, when Jesus talks about that in Matthew 24, he says, when you see the abomination of desolation, let the reader understand. See, again, God wants us to understand Bible prophecy because there's that detail added. Let the reader understand. Basically, the Antichrist is going to erect an image of himself in the rebuilt temple and demand worship from the people. So now he's showing who he really is. You know, it's an interesting thing about Antichrist. U.S. News and World Report magazine article pointed out that 49% of Americans believe there will be an Antichrist sometime in the future. Not Christians, just Americans. Almost half of Americans think there will be an Antichrist. 19% of Americans polled believe the Antichrist is alive right now. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Greg, why do we need to talk about him? Why even give a passing thought to someone as evil as the Antichrist? Answer, because there are over 100 passages in the Bible that detail the career, nationality, character, kingdom, and final doom of Antichrist. He is discussed at length in the book of Daniel, in the book of Thessalonians, and in the book of Revelation. So we need to understand what his agenda is and what he is attempting to do. But just remember this, as dark as this period of time will be, God is sovereign over all history. World history is his story. Let me say it another way. History is his story. So God is sovereign and God is in control, and you do not have to be afraid. All right, let's read a little bit about this curious character called Antichrist in Revelation 13, verse 1. John writes, now John was banished to the island of Patmos for preaching the gospel. And Jesus came to him and gave him a vision. It's as though John was put into a spiritual time machine and catapulted into the future. And he describes what he saw in this great book, Revelation. He writes in Revelation 13, verse 1, I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. His mouth was like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads was mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast, and they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who will make war with him? Wow, interesting scene. So here we have the Antichrist emerging, and he is, again, defying God and attempting to take the place of Christ. And it says in verse 1, he has a blasphemous name. He'll be a great orator, a great communicator, but he's coming in opposition to God. Probably not at first. At first, he'll seem very conciliatory. At first, he'll seem like a wonderful person, but then his true agenda will be revealed and he will specifically target followers of Jesus Christ. Revelation 13:7 says, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And he also is going to dominate the globe. Revelation 13:7 says authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. But again, I emphasize, the way he fools people is through peace. The Bible says through peace, he will deceive many. But then people will realize how evil he actually is. I read an interesting article online the other day about the drummer for the thrash band Death Angel. The man's name is Will Carroll, and he got COVID-19. So his tour was canceled, and he was sent to the hospital, and he was put into a medically induced coma. So while he was in the coma, this drummer for this rock band had a vision of hell, and he saw himself in hell being tormented. In fact, when he woke up from his coma, he asked the nurse, he had tubes connected to him, he asked her, am I still in hell? And after this harrowing experience, he came to this conclusion, and I quote, as for my personal life and the experience of what I went through, I don't think Satan's quite as cool as I used to. Yeah, Satan is not cool. Antichrist isn't cool. They're evil. And I think sometimes in life we get pulled into evil things because the devil is very good at packaging his wares. He's great at making bad things look good. He's also adept at making good things seem bad. And so we sort of buy what he's offering, and we get pulled into it, hook, line, and sinker, and then he chews us up and he spits us out. Oh, look how exciting drugs can look, drinking can look, partying can look, sexual experimentation can look, and then fast forward a few years and you have an addict, you have an alcoholic, you have a person with some kind of venereal disease or other issues, and they realize how empty it all is. And that's what the world is going to realize. Antichrist will come as the greatest thing since sliced bread, and then he'll show who he really is. The Bible says through peace, he will deceive many.
Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie is presenting a candid look at the Antichrist and the danger he poses during the end times. And there's more to come as Pastor Greg continues his series, End Times, Living Like Jesus Will Return at Any Moment. Hopefully you're enjoying this series, and if you are, drop Pastor Greg an email at greg@harvest.org. And if you'd like a replay of today's insight, just go to harvest.org and look for the title of the message, Antichrist, Armageddon, and the Second Coming. And then we're so excited to make available a gripping book called Beyond Valor, a World War II story of extraordinary heroism, sacrificial love, and a race against time. It's a book by our good friend John Irwin, who writes of the actions of his own grandfather.
On a routine mission to Koriyama, Japan, a bomb erupted in his face on board a B-29 Superfortress, and that plane began to go into an immediate dive. My grandfather, in that split-second moment, had a choice to make. Save himself or try to save the lives of his crew. His answer to that call and the choice that he would make would define his life and generations of lives and lead to the fastest presentation of the Congressional Medal of Honor that we know of in our nation's history.
You know, the Medal of Honor is synonymous with heroism, but people think of it different ways. What, John, would be your definition of a hero?
We have so many heroes amongst us. I mean, ultimately, I think heroes are those that have the courage and the character to choose others above themselves in moments of extreme pressure. It's a moment of self-sacrifice. It's a moment of You know, as Jesus said, there is no greater love than the one that would lay his life down for his friends. And all of these acts, they're driven by love. They are extreme acts of love, is what I've found.
Yeah.
And so I think that there are extreme acts of love anywhere. I love the definition of the Medal of Honor in terms of heroism, because it applies to us all. It's a biblical concept. It's to go above and beyond what is required of you. Go further, do more. As Jesus said, if someone asks you to walk a mile, go two.
Yeah.
And the idea that our nation and our faith compels us to go beyond, and that should be one of the marks of a Christian.
Yeah.
And it is a mark of a hero, is to do more than is required of them. And you don't have to be, you know, a soldier to do that. There can be heroes amongst us anywhere. And again, I just think that it's such a statement in the sort of self-serving, narcissistic generation that I grew up in, honestly, and that my children are growing up in, and to see that heroism is to put things that are more important above yourself, to serve a purpose and a cause greater than yourself, and to put the needs and lives of others ahead of yourself and serve that. That's something that I think we all need to be reminded of, you know, and that's one of the virtues that make us American.
That's right.
That we shouldn't forget.
You know, I was thinking of how your grandfather was humble and he didn't think of himself as a hero. And I thought of Micah 6:8, where the Lord says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And, you know, what does God really want us to do? He wants us to do justly, to do the right thing, to love mercy and walk in humility. And, you know, a true hero won't go around and tell everyone they're a hero. They'll just do what they do, and then they'll move on with their life and live their life and give credit to others. And I think that even that is another mark of true character and true heroism, that you're not, you know, shouting it from the rooftops, but you're just a doer. It's done, shown by action, not just by words.
Yeah.
And so if you're moved by this story, and I'm sure you are, of a John Irwin's grandfather, Henry Irwin, known as Red, because he had a thick mane of red hair, read this amazing story. The book is called Beyond Valor. It's a story of a true American hero, but also it's a story of a man who was motivated by his faith. So this is a story you need to hear, and it will inspire you and encourage you as well.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a real privilege to be able to make this book available to you. And it's a privilege to be able to make Pastor Greg's studies available to you as well. And if you can invest so these programs can continue, we'd like to send you this new book, Beyond Valor. The subtitle is A World War II Story of Extraordinary Heroism, Sacrificial Love, and a Race Against Time. Thanks for your donation that helps us reach even more people, especially at this important time when people need hope. Write us today at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org.
Our life is like a movie, and we're the star.
Evangelist Greg Laurie.
We have questions about this movie we're in. Is it a love story? Is this movie a tragedy? What is the meaning of my life?
An online event is coming that can change your life.
We can all use a rush of hope. Step into
a new day. A Rush of Hope, the world's first online cinematic harvest crusade. On your favorite social media platform, Labor Day weekend, September 4th through September 7th. Invite a friend to tune in for a message of hope from evangelist Greg Laurie and exclusive performances by Jeremy Camp, 'Cause I still believe. Mercy Me, I can only imagine. And For King and Country. Rush of Hope, coming to a screen near you Labor Day weekend. Details at harvest.org. Well, next time, more insight on God's plan for the end times as Pastor Greg continues his message, Antichrist, Armageddon, and the Second Coming. Join us here on A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.